Welcome to International Dispute Negotiation, your guide to resolving disputes everywhere.
This is Mike McElrath, and this podcast is about different ways of accepting and managing the risks of dispute resolution, presenting them through the eyes of experts from different countries and backgrounds. On a contract, $10 million contract, you have to have a dispute resolution clause. It says arbitration. Speaking for yourselves, how many of you would say you would have a preference for three arbitrators?
Aye.
That's a lonely aye. How many would say they have a preference for one?
Aye.
Wow, that's a pretty big difference.
One or three arbitrators? That was a group of about 25 young executives from oil and gas producing countries who were attending a master's program in international business. Like many business leaders, they may not have had much direct experience with arbitration, but they do know it's a feature of their international contracts, and they were happy to share their opinions. In this episode of IDN, we look at arbitrator selection at its most basic, the question of how many. What's preferred in the abstract in terms of the number of arbitrators, what's common in practice, and most importantly, what the better option might be for most cases.
I'm Jennifer Kirby, formerly the Deputy Secretary General of the ICC Court, now a partner in the arbitration group at Herbert Smith in the Paris office.
But before we get to Jennifer, I should note that the vote that we heard at the outset expressing a preference for one arbitrator among those business leaders didn't exactly sync with my own experience in international commercial disputes. My lawyer colleagues who negotiate contracts quickly reminded me of what's far and away common practice.
What is the number of arbitrators that we find most frequently, one or three?
Three.
I agree with Valentina. So three arbitrators is, I think, is the most common approach coming from customers.
Our clients ask for three arbitrators.
The customers that we have at the other customers, side ask for three.
Yes.
And this is where Jennifer Kirby comes in. She may be in as good a position as anyone in the world to know the actual differences in practice between one and three arbitrators and the consequences of that difference in arbitration as it gets practiced.
During my tenure at the court, I was involved in the administration of about 3,000 arbitrations, actually over 3,000 arbitrations.
And that you actually reviewed how many arbitration awards?
I read and critiqued over 1,000 arbitral awards as part of the court's scrutiny process. These were draft awards that were being prepared for the ICC court to scrutinize and approve.
Jennifer's 2009 article, With Arbitrators, Less Can Be More in the Journal of International Arbitration, sets out the view that, as the title implies, one arbitrator is usually the better choice. Of course, it's hardly much of a stretch to say that one arbitrator is likely to be cheaper and faster than a threesome, something that's immediately evident to business managers accustomed to making quick decisions in important matters.
One or three. Four in terms of...
Yeah, four is not an option.
In terms of what? You mean?
In terms of the number, $10 million contract, you have to decide how to resolve disputes. Do you want one or three arbitrators? For your personal preference.
One.
Why?
Well, if you have more than three, let's say, for example, they're going to have a dispute between them. You're going to end up having a dispute between the three of them, which is going to prolong the time of the whole arbitration, really.
One.
Why?
One, I think it's faster for one person to just make the decision, and then it's cheaper. I pay one person against three.
One. When would you prefer three?
You have to pay them a lot.
More expensive.
While it may be obvious that one arbitrator will cost less and also take less time than three, can this difference be quantified? How much more efficient can one arbitrator be?
If I were to give sort of a ballpark in terms of the savings in time that one might achieve by having a sole arbitrator as opposed to a three-member tribunal, I would give a ballpark answer of about 20%. The observation that time and money can be saved by having a sole arbitrator is certainly not something that I've invented. You know, in the ICC Commission's report on ideas to reduce time and cost, they point out that one thing that should be taken into consideration is whether it may be appropriate to have a sole arbitrator to try to keep time and cost down. And of course, it's not just the additional cost of having three people as opposed to one person. It's the cost of deliberations. It's the cost of scheduling changes.
Yet, despite the acknowledged benefits of time and cost, the preference for three arbitrators remains a persistent one in commercial practice.
Well, the conventional wisdom is that, you know, provided the amount in dispute is sufficiently high to bear it, that three arbitrators are almost always better than one. And this is a piece of conventional wisdom that is widely accepted, and you can see it in the number of arbitration clauses where parties agree to have three. They far exceed the number of clauses where the parties agree to have one. There are arbitration rules that provide for three arbitrators, the Unsetral rules, for example, which are supposed Now, those rules are supposed to represent an international consensus of what's expected in international arbitration, and they provide for three. The working group is currently looking at revising those rules, I understand, is considering changing that, but that's been the position in the Unsetral rules since they were originally put into place.
And a lot of arbitrators also advocate the collegiality that goes on when you have a group of three arbitrators, that the possibility of arriving at a consensus opinion as opposed to one person doing things on their own.
Well, I think based on conversations that I've had with arbitrators, I don't think that there's any doubt that most arbitrators prefer to work in groups of three. But the question is, does that necessarily bring any added value to the parties? And the idea that flows out of the collegiality that you were just describing is that having three arbitrators increases the quality of the process, both in terms of the procedure itself and how it's run, and also in terms of the award that is ultimately issued. The idea is that awards by three arbitrators are going to be better, on the whole, than awards rendered by sole arbitrators.
In fact, I heard these same quality concerns when conducting informal interviews with both business executives and lawyers.
Maybe if a big contract, more than $50 million.
More than $50 million?
Yeah.
When would you choose three?
For a contract of over $100 million.
I choose only one.
Anymore.
Yes, $10 million is nothing.
It's nothing. Okay.
Yeah.
We are talking about $10 million US dollars or euro contracts, so it's a huge amount of money. And so I believe that three arbitrators will have a more comprehensive and detailed analysis of the disputes.
Well, three probably is where we have high-value disputes.
What's high value?
Difficult to say, but 20, 25 million, 30 million, something more.
But there's, I think for parties, there's actually in some sense an even more important issue with respect to having three arbitrators, and it goes to this issue of parties having confidence in the arbitral process. In part, this ties back to what I was just saying, in that parties have more confidence in the process having three because they think that there will be an increase in quality. They think it's some form of quality assurance.
Or we think, speaking as a party, we think that we have an arbitrator in the game. And even though everybody knows that arbitrators are all supposed to be impartial, there's a tendency, I think, among parties to think, if I can appoint one, I'm going to have an advocate. Or not necessarily an advocate, but someone who's going to think of my interests in this overall process.
I think that that is, as a practical matter, the most important issue for parties. I mean, if parties only cared about quality control and having three arbitrators, then you might expect them to agree that all of those arbitrators could be appointed by the institution, for example. That's extremely rare for parties to agree to that. They want three because they want to appoint their arbitrator. And having their arbitrator isn't just in most parties' mind, a way to help ensure the quality of the process. It's a way that parties believe that they can influence the outcome potentially in their favor, that the choice of the co-arbitrator is a very strategic choice for them, sometimes even described as the most important strategic choice a party can make in an arbitration.
While lawyers and business managers may have more confidence in three arbitrators for a large dispute, Jennifer Kirby asks,
is this confidence really well placed? And I'm really not sure that it is. Even if a co-arbitrator is independent, impartial, and basically neutral, fact remains that most chairmen are very skeptical whenever a co-arbitrator starts to express views that just happen to go in favor of the party that has nominated them. So a co-arbitrator is not necessarily terribly well-placed to advance the cause of the party that nominated him, even if he approaches that subtly, and even if he approaches it in a neutral frame of mind.
And there's another reason I've heard, and this may just tie back to your first point about quality, and that is that three arbitrators may be less likely to arrive at an extreme outcome.
I think that that's right. The hesitation that's often expressed about having one arbitrator is that this leaves open the door for a procedure to go completely awry with some sort of rogue lone arbitrator who either doesn't manage the procedure properly at all or who completely misunderstands the case. But I just don't think that that type of outcome is more common with a sole arbitrator than it is with three-member tribunals. When you look at the minority of cases that are problematic, in my experience, those cases are not predominantly sole arbitrator cases. In fact, my impression was that it was pretty much 50-50 as to whether the problematic case was with a sole arbitrator or with a three-member arbitral tribunal. Yes, it's true that a sole arbitrator can be more reactive on points of procedure and even perhaps in terms of producing awards because there are no deliberations, so he can move more quickly. It is true also that having three arbitrators does open the door to, for example, compromise decisions that are generally considered to undermine the quality of awards, dissenting opinions, and what's put in the article is this notion of the terrorist arbitrator, the fortunately not a common person, but unfortunately, not exactly rare, a person who engages in behavior that is, in effect, designed to undermine the quality of the process. And when an arbitral tribunal has one or more arbitrators on the tribunal that are behaving in that way, it can dramatically increase time and costs and undermine the integrity of the process. For example, being sick when a hearing is about to be called. In more dramatic circumstances, an arbitrator might even resign just before a hearing is supposed to take place. An arbitrator can also make himself unavailable for deliberations, making the scheduling very difficult to get the award done. Or he can say that he's going to issue a dissenting opinion and then take forever to draft it. Or he can simply withhold his signature from the award for an extended period of time when his signature is the only one that's necessary before it can be notified to the parties.
So if one arbitrator may actually yield the same or better quality as a threesome of decision makers in a shorter time at a lower cost, and all while reducing the known hazards of Solomonic decisions and terrorist co-arbitrators, are there any situations where three might be better? Surprisingly, Jennifer says there are. But it doesn't depend on the size of the dispute, despite what parties may think.
I wouldn't say that it's so much a matter of the amount in dispute per se. I mean, of course, institutions like the ICC and others will use the amount in dispute sometimes as a proxy for taking various decisions, a proxy for complexity, right, that is. But that's not really the issue. I think where having three arbitrators is most valuable is where you have, for example, a case that's particularly document-heavy and detail-oriented. It can be good to have three arbitrators on such a case, provided, and this is a big provided, all three of them are truly engaged in detail in the work that needs to be done to get that case resolved. I think another reason that may explain why you don't see, or at least I have not seen, such a dramatic difference in quality between sole arbitrator proceedings and three-member arbitral tribunal proceedings. It's because often the co-arbitrators do not necessarily participate in the process with as much energy as the parties might have hoped at the time that they appointed them.
With the exception of especially complex cases, however, one arbitrator does appear to be, almost hands down, the best option for most contracts. In fact, business managers ultimately responsible for those contracts might easily agree. But here's the problem. Conventional practice remains one of designating three arbitrators in most cases. So how do we get from three arbitrators to one in practice, especially persuading the other side in negotiation that one would be the better option? That's the topic of the next episode of IDN as we continue this discussion with Jennifer Kirby.
You say you would have a preference for three arbitrators. Say I.
I.
That's a lonely I. How many would say they have a preference for one? Say I.
You've been listening to International Dispute Negotiation. This podcast is presented by the International Institute for Conflict Prevention and Resolution, CPR. CPR is a membership-based nonprofit organization that promotes excellence and innovation in public and private dispute resolution, providing an international resource for the avoidance, management, and resolution of business disputes. For further information about CPR, or to download archived versions of this podcast, go to www.cpradr.org. Questions about this podcast, or the issues discussed, can be addressed to idn@cpradr.org. The music of Note Noir is used with permission.